Yes, everybody, what's going on? My name is Stephen Allison. This is MMA Latest, and this is, I still think, it's the Fighting Out of Manchester podcast. We haven't actually come up with a better name than that. You say you got a text off someone saying they had a good one.
I had a few. I think one that really stood out, though, was Manny on the Mat. What do we think? Nah, it's a bit too cheesy.
It's definitely cheesy.
And we're definitely stealing Bugsy Malone shit, and I don't want to be doing that.
All right.
How are you, mate? How are you?
I'm all right, I guess. I'm all right.
Guess we're here again, Wednesday.
Wednesday, 2:30-ish. And we are live again. So thank you guys for joining us. Make sure to get some of your questions in. If you've got any questions for myself or Bren. We're going to talk a little bit about trash talk, cover a bit of last week's UFC. Look ahead.
100%.
And trash talking is typically something you do before a fight, isn't it? It's not something you do after a fight most of the time.
And it can be very hazardous to your health, because if you talk shit about Jorge Masvidal, he will 100-meter sprint and fly a knee your head off. And then he'll double punch you after it and say it was because you took the piss. It can get people riled up. It can also go the other way. Colby is embarrassing, really, mate, to be honest. What do you think?
When I heard him say that, I just was like...
Is there a line for it, though? If you remember the stuff Conor was going on about Khabib, wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, and Chael. Chael's great because he explains it. And he goes, no, listen, I owe you nothing but I don't even owe you the truth. He goes, if I get on that mic, I'll lie.
No, the best one I ever seen was when he said to Tito, the only person that gets paid overtime or something is your bird for opening the legs or something mad like that, mate. And I swear.
Is that when he was with Jenna Jameson?
Yeah, and the whole, not everyone just went silent. And everyone went, he went there. He went, you really going there? He was just so upset about it, mate.
Mate, you might be a porn star. You're going to get trash talked about your wife being
and you're fighting Chael Sonnen. You're with a porn star.
Mate, some of the shit that he said about people in Brazil and then went and fought
Colby.
In Brazil. No, Chael.
Colby did it too. Don't forget. Called them all filthy animals and then turned up there.
He's a fucking bellend, isn't he?
Oh, mate, Mike Wilkerson told me when he fought in Brazil, he had armed guards on his room. They take it that serious over there. And, like, yeah, it's a serious matter. And to disrespect their country and go and fight in there, wow. Wow, you have to have a serious set of cojones.
To try and turn that crowd around to just not want to murder you the instant you get out there.
Vamos, eh? Is that what that means?
Yeah, because hang on.
You're going to die.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. There was another one that... because that was what Conor was shouting at.
Ooh, vamos, nice. Oh, my God.
This is the place that basically invented MMA as well.
And you're going in there calling them all filthy animals. Into there, you know, when Conor went there, started just going, you know what, he's the king of it, though, isn't he? Do you know what it is with
Conor? Is he the king? Do you put him above Chael Sonnen?
Yes. So I tell you why.
I got him.
Because he's authentic. He's so authentic.
I think Chael's pretty authentic. Nah, Chael steps up to the mic.
Chael was good, right? But Connor's that guy. You'll meet him in the street, he'd still be that guy. He's one of the boys.
Like that, yeah.
And he'll reel off at your Colby. If you met him in the street, he wouldn't be that guy, would he?
Do you not think?
No. Pathetic little act. Just looks really sad and really forced. Do you not feel the force of the energy?
Yeah. Did you see the video he made with his missus sitting on him?
Was that his missus?
I think, I don't know. There was a young lady.
Looked like they've been paid to sit there, mate. It's just
they're the ones that he walks in at the weigh-ins with. But there was a young lady sitting on him. He's wearing... Why does he keep taking that belt around? Ain't your belt. Put that belt down.
And it's the old belt.
Yeah, and it's the old belt. I might as well walk around with a belt. In your belt.
I don't know. He's trying something, isn't he? He's trying something. Someone's told him, if you start acting like Conor, you'll make a few quid.
And he's probably right. And he probably is right. I don't like this entertainment era. I liked it when GSP would fight 3 times a year. Mm. And this guy would fight 3 times a year. And do you know why you got to fight him? Because you was a number one contender. That's it. That's all that should matter.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely based on views now, isn't it? I mean, like I say, how has Tony Ferguson not had a title fight?
It's ridiculous.
How many fight win streak is it now?
I
think he's the longest ever to not get a title shot anyway.
It's ridiculous.
And he's still not in line for it.
It's ridiculous. So I wanted to go back anyway before we get into it, because in case you missed it, I don't know where you've been, but I don't know if you're all aware of what happened with Matt Hughes and the car crash and the train tracks and all that sort of stuff. He was in a very, very, very bad way. Colby gets on the mic after beating Robbie Lawler, and I mean, can I just say, 5 out of 5 on my picks this weekend. If you want
to, really?
Yeah, if you want to follow me for the betting tips, then that's what you need to be doing. Good, 5 out of 5 on the tips.
Good money, that.
It was all right.
What did you put on?
Only a fiver.
What did you get back?
58.
Lovely stuff.
That's all right. It's all right.
Should I put your money where your mouth was, shouldn't I?
I thought it was only just a little cheap.
That MMA, anything can happen, mate. I've won. My biggest ever win, Holly Holm, when she beat Ronda Rousey 12-1, £3,500.
What?
Best morning of my life. I sat up in my mum's room like, yes! Get in there, Holly, head kick.
Oh,
I told everyone, look, this girl cannot strike. I knew Ronda Rousey did not have the level of striking to deal.
What did you put on that then for that?
Well,
what's that?
Well,
5 ton?
No, yeah, what no. I did though, look, I put a bit, I think I put 100 quid on, right? And then I watched the weigh-in. And when Ronda Rousey's pushed her and she just didn't move, and I went, I was lumping.
We're all in.
I was ringing everyone, and everyone was buzzing me. Rang me in the morning. How did you know? I said, there's levels. You're talking about a world class boxing, world class kickboxing, and you're fighting a novice who can't take
striking
you down. She's
novice.
Not big enough to take her down.
I did think she was going to take her down, though. Because she was closing the distance and she didn't really give a shit about taking one. And I thought, she is going to take some, but she's going to get close enough to
can't
hold you. And if she can hold you, you're going flying. But like Holly Holm kept the distance, kept her.
Brilliant kick.
It was fantastic. And then.
Going back to Matt Hughes anyway, sorry to run off with that. Matt Hughes, what was said this weekend, he was an idol of mine growing up in MMA. I'm sure he was a
all-time great.
Absolutely loved him. Loved everything he did in the cage. Loved him out the cage. Loved his mentality. And to say that is tasteless. And like I say, you're forcing this thing. Like, if Conor would have said it, it would have been a bit different, I reckon, because, do you know what I mean? He's like that with everyone. But it's Colby. He's picked...
I don't think Conor would say
No, he wouldn't. No, but he this guy has picked something that he knows. Well, it's not like it's come off his tongue. You even see him when he's calling out... what's he called? Usman, he's not natural with it.
Usman took the piss as well out of that.
I'll fight you right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's very forced. He's putting on an act, and I don't know. We're in a very sad era now when you've got Masvidal, who's a straight up G, talks it, I will fuck you up, and goes and does it.
Did you ever see the footage of him in a street fight?
Seen all of it. Gangster. I've trained with him. I've chilled with him. He's been staying at Dom's with me before. Me and my Dom. Sick.
There's a bit of footage where there's a big, big, absolute monster bear of a dude. And I think he cracks a woman. And then you see a little... Because he's only a small guy,
isn't
he?
Yeah, his hair,
I think he had a beanie hat on and everything. And he walks over. I think he whips his top off. Then a bus goes past. And then there's a guy asleep on the floor. And you're like, oh, where's the other angle of that?
He's literally the epitome of a fighter, you know.
You don't mess with him, do you?
All Ben was giving it was, hey, George. And I thought, you're poking the lion, look.
You're poking him.
And then when it was time to let him off the leash.
Oh, how scary was, how chill he was. Because he knew what he was doing.
He's had 50 pro fights, mate. How many in the street? I don't know. So, you get scared of a guy who's trying to grab hold of him.
And George Matchfield actually was on that... that backyard brawl shit in Florida, wasn't he, as well? Was it Florida?
What a gangster, mate. I've got so much respect for that guy. Like, the level of respect I have for people like that is unbelievable. He's never shied away from a challenge. He's fought in both weight classes. He's fought every fight that was put on the table. Backyard, no weight classes, just absolute gangster. We need more Jorge Masvidals in the world.
See, that guy should be a Conor McGregor-level superstar. He should be. Why isn't he?
That's you can talk to.
That's what we want. We want people that'll go, I'll fuck you up, and then they fuck you up. That's literally all we want.
I mean, Colby fucked him up, but how can you land 4,000 strikes and not get a finish? And it's like...
Well, 540 strikes he landed. So what?
Took Masvidal, one.
Robbie Lawler is as hard
as a man comes. He is.
Oh my God. 500. And I think it was 18. I think
his last three or four have all been that unanimous decisions. Mm. I know it's very difficult at that level to get the finishes. But
how does it go with him and Usman? Because I think
Usman wins.
I think Usman's a better wrestler.
I think Usman's
cardio.
Just better everywhere. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see what's Colby going to bring. Where's the axe factor Colby's got? Unless he can get under his skin. And I think Usman's a bit cool for that. I don't think he's going to get
busted. I agree. Did I tell you a story about Usman, right? So this is the truth as well. Day he fights Tyron Woodley for the title. This is his big shot, right? I go into the UFC Performance Institute. I was in Vegas training at the time. I go in about 11 o'clock, start training. Next thing, Usman comes in. This is the day of the fight.
He's a big fella.
This is the day he fights for this title. He comes in, starts training. And I mean, when I say training, I'm not talking about skipping what he was against.
I've heard this guy is. He was against the wall.
2 hours he was in there. And I mean, sweating, full on session, right? So in my head, I'm thinking, you're fighting Tyron Woodley tonight. That must be your twin brother.
It's probably going to go the distance as well.
But I thought, that can't be you. Next thing I get in there, Henry Cejudo's in there too. We're all in the change room, so it's referee. And he's like, yeah, good luck tonight. And I thought, wow, it actually is. Why has he just done a 2 hour session when he's got to fight Tyron? And he's like, different level of animal, mate.
That's
like,
the cardio I think that Colby's wow. Been
ready for. Colby's got cardio though. That's what makes it interesting.
The level.
Yeah, there's levels.
There's a level in this, and I think Usman sits at the top of that level. I think he's just sort of like, I mean, I was going to say well-rounded, but that he's very much a grappler. But I think there's such a competence about him. I think he just shuts down.
Like, Usman, you're on about.
Yeah, I think he just closes off everything Colby's going to do. Colby's striking's not elite. Yes, he landed a lot of shots on Lawler. Don't know what happened in that fight. It felt like Lawler was sort of waiting to bait him.
Don't forget how many rounds have them two done together. They know each other. Colby knew what he had to do in that fight.
Probably right.
Yeah, 100%. That's a massive thing, you know, what people are not taking into consideration, that they've probably done hundreds of hours of training together. It's like me fighting Kane or me fighting someone I've trained with every day. I know you inside out. I know you're going to throw that kick at that time. And it's just that Colby's a bit younger. Wanted it a bit more. Robbie's been there. He's been champion.
You know what? He's on a hell of a streak as well. As much as the guy is 100% a bellend, but he is on a serious streak.
Is he a proper bellend? Yeah. I think he ranks up there with the biggest bellends on earth, you know.
Hell of a shout.
He's up there, you know. I can't believe how much he forces this act. It's just so... Do you cringe?
Yeah, and do you know why?
It proper kills me, you know. I don't know anyone that enjoys it.
It's people in the comments, like, there's a lot of that right-wing American, the racist in America, that, because he wears the MAGA hats and all that lot, they've just taken to him as their little spokesman.
How
and
is Donald Trump, the president, the most powerful man on earth, ringing Colby? Well done, mate, sending his kids there to watch.
He's a weapon on earth.
Turning up to the fucking White House with his belt, with his old belt. It's not even his belt. And it's like... What age are we living in on earth here now?
It's mental, isn't it?
He's sending out tweets, good luck, Colby. America's with you. I'm thinking, aren't you got a war somewhere? Aren't the people dying? Like, yeah, what are we doing like, here?
Getting rappers freed from Sweden and stuff like that. Like, what is he doing? What are you doing? I'm sure being president is a... Do you know what?
What era?
I reckon it's a tough job, right? I reckon it's probably a lot you got to do. I reckon you can half-ass that shit.
Wow, what an era we live in. ASAP Rocky, ringing up Sweden's Prime Minister to get ASAP Rocky out. Colby, good
luck. This is a film, isn't it?
Christ.
This is a film. Jesus. What do you think of Colby versus Usman in the post-fight show? I didn't see it, actually.
Questions? What have we got? Nasrat.
Colby is Division 1 wrestler. Usman is Division 2. I think there's a lot placed on that. That there's no need for. Like, you can't necessarily choose what school you go to. Am I right? I mean, I'm talking...
So basically, I've spent a lot of time in America now, and one of my friends was a D1, and I get it now. Like,
is the level?
I need to explain something about this wrestling culture.
But MMA wrestling is so different.
Absolutely, totally different ballgame. That's why... People like Rory McDonald can take down Matt Hughes and GSP, and that's why, you know, people that have these accredited wrestlers. Yoel Romero got took down by Robert Whittaker, an Australian that has never ever wrestled.
Yeah, an Olympic gold medalist.
He's the best wrestler in MMA by far, Yoel Romero, and he got took down by an Australian guy that's done no really wrestling. Just shows that MMA is totally... Anyway, let me go back to this D1, D2, D3 thing. So,
go on.
I went out to America, I was training out there. My friend who was living with, Orlando, he was a D1 wrestler, and Darian Caldwell was a D1 All-American. So I'm like getting into this now, like, what is this D1, D2, D3? So he took me to Arizona State University, where there's a D1 school, where Cain Velasquez was, and I went in there wrestling with
him. He was pretty
good. Yeah, he's all right, not bad. And I go in there and I'm like, whoa, and it's just an energy and awe about it, and the wrestlers are the main athletes. So it's like, and wrestlers and NFL players. So like, you'll go in the room and I'm like, what's D? He went, look, D2, they just forget about it. If you're a D1 American wrestler in America, you're the man. And I'm like, wow. And they look at it like that. Even right. in the colleges, they've got the D1, they've got the Nebraska wrestling. And, do you know what I mean? And there's like Nebraska, Arizona State.
Farm territories, isn't it? Ohio.
Yeah, and they're the
there
ones.
There was a guy that used to train at the mill. Had come from Ohio.
Scott.
Little fucker.
Scott, I remember.
Put me through the bastard wall.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it's a big it's a big culture over there. Same with Iranians. In Iran, it's actually the national sport. Mm. So like, we're playing football, they're playing wrestling. 50,000 seaters to watch a wrestling match.
Mental.
Absolute. I love it though. I love wrestling. I love that. I mean, it's not really been taken over here, has it? You go to the Y Club. I'm training with the national team, mate, wrestling guys.
I saw you've been at ASW a lot last couple of weeks. Is that
you know what I'm
talking about? Yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, wrestling is the most. I know why Henry Cejudo's a 2-weight champion. I know why Kamaru Usman's the champion. I know why Daniel Cormier is a 2-weight world champion. What you need in here to get through them wrestling, like Henry Cejudo now, to me, is the most accomplished, forget combat, athlete, mate, because to get an Olympic gold medal, I can't fathom it in people's minds at what level you have to get to in your mind, what kind of dark place you have to get to train to get an Olympic gold medal. Then to go and get two world titles in MMA in different weights, you are a special human. You need to be treated like a special human, and no one will ever do that again, I don't think.
He's not got that personality that, because he should walk in, bang his chopper on a table and go, who's touching that? But he seems a bit timid, which is mad for someone who's such an absolute don, a combat athlete.
Don.
Do you know what I mean? No, he does most accomplished combat athlete. He was almost begging for
fights.
He's
half going cringe as well.
Yeah.
He's half trying it as well.
But he doesn't suit him. At all.
Does it suit Colby?
Because I think he's a whopper.
No, he doesn't.
We got one of his fans in here. You can see by the flag that they've got to the side of his name.
Let's have a look. Usman is a D2 bum. I think Yoel Romero, I know you're disagreeing on here, but I think Yoel Romero is the best wrestler in MMA. Someone tell me a different. You Yoel Romero have got low wrestling IQ. Listen, mate, I've been out there wrestling. I know about wrestling D1, D2, D3. And I know that to be a D1 All-American. So do you know what All-American means?
I'm going to assume it's like
we had a room
top roster.
Where at Alliance at one time, there was me. The best, they had Phil Davis, who was a D1 All-American. Darren Caldwell, D1 All-American. Ed Roof, D1 All-American. And they were like, look, this is the best wrestling room in the country right now. And I swear, them wrestling sessions, mate, with them guys, he's just a totally, totally different ball game. And I definitely know why the emphasis is on this D1 thing. And like I say, Phil Davis is another one that's just probably transitioned wrestling over into MMA better than most, any really.
But this is the thing. Wrestling is a base.
Yep.
But wrestling isn't the sport. MMA is the sport.
Yep.
You've still got you're not getting punched in the head.
Do you know why wrestlers do the best in MMA, though?
Because I think it's octagon control. I think it's mentality. And I think it's fitness. I think there's a few of those things.
Yeah, I just think, like I say, to be a D1 All-American or get into that kind of category, the level of I can't believe how hard these men train and these wrestlers. They drilled, instilled in them from a young age. That's why the Chechens we were talking about, Dagestanis, Iranian. They were in a different place in the mind.
There's a difference between the Iranian style and this American D1.
Yeah, they're all different. They're all different. They explained it to me, the Iranians. They said that the Americans are more fitness, more shoot all the time. Iranians are a bit more technical. The Russians like the 2-on-1 tie-ups from up top. Everyone's got their own style. And
what's the Dagestani one?
Oh, they're just
a smash.
Yeah, they'll just kill
just
you.
Smash.
Straight kill you. but no, they're all good in their own way. I've trained with Russians, Iranians, Americans, and they've all got their own, especially the Russians.
And Nobbed from Wigan.
Oh, mate, listen. We in England are just a poor wrestling outfit, you know, when you look around the world. And didn't it come from here?
Well, I think wrestling was part of the original Olympic Games, wasn't it? But catch comes from Wigan. Mm. And that's Billy Robinson's and the Snake Pit and all that sort of stuff. And
we know a bit about that, don't we?
We do know a little bit about that.
The first place I actually met Stephen Howson.
Getting my head twisted off.
Yeah, he was.
Why is catch wrestling so nasty? Can you explain for those who probably don't know? Because you've got a few catch wrestlers that have done well. Sakuraba being a big one. Josh Barnett being another one. There's another couple of catch wrestlers that I can't think of off the top of my head that are doing a little bit of bits. But it's not that. It's not the same as freestyle American wrestling. It's more submission wrestling.
So from my understanding, because I've done both, jiu-jitsu is more gi-based, come from Brazil. and it's more of a slower art.
Did you know that?
They work to get the stuff on. The triangles will be set up in certain ways. Cat chasing is
dive on something and yank it.
I just
normally necks and wrists.
Neck, start pulling your neck. It's filthy, but it's effective.
But you can see it come from Wigan. You can see why it came from Wigan, can't you?
How long did I did catch her? About 5-6 years. And you know what? My grappling went through the roof. I mean, them double wrist locks, them neck cranks and all that. You'd go again.
I think it's very effective for MMA.
I do. Well, what I'd find was when I'd go with a jiu-jitsu guy, because I didn't do jiu-jitsu for years, I was on a totally different pace. So I'd be diving on stuff and they'd be trying to set stuff up and I'd just be absolutely straight on stuff. And you know what? I wouldn't mind going back to that style again because I kind of fell into the jiu-jitsu way as well. But if someone said, what's the difference? I'd say jiu-jitsu is more methodical, setups.
Position before submission.
Yeah, whereas catches dive on, even if you land on your back, they'll grab something and just keep rolling with it, even if they give up a terrible position. Mm. So like, for example, Ian used to go for the double wrist lock, didn't he? And he'd be there and he'd even let you take his back.
Well, he would say, start on my back. And you'd be like, okay.
And then you'd get
your fucking head twisted off and you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah, so no, it's... They're both very effective in their own way, and if you can do both, wow. Especially if you're a D1 or you're a high-level wrestler and you learn catch with it.
Because that submission element, I think, is what makes it translate to MMA, because I think it's very good in scramble. Not probably on the same level as freestyle wrestling in a scramble, because that seems to live in the scramble, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that submission... I just think that there's a fucking real, like, angry nastiness to catch wrestling, which I think translates to fighting really well.
And you know what else? Like, not a lot of people know about catch, really. It's a really hidden art.
Yeah, well, there's like a weird... It's called carny wrestling in America because it's carnival and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's called catch in the UK, and I think they call it catch. So you've got like a little bit of America, and I think it's like Midwest farmer territory in America. Yeah. You've got the northwest of England, and you've got Japan, and that's it. That's all who does it.
Something really weird. Something weird's gone on around that era there. I think basically what it was, it started in Wigan. One of them's got off to Japan. Billy Robinson?
Billy Robinson.
One of them went
guy,
to Japan.
I can't remember the name.
One went to America and basically started spreading the art. And it's still a very underutilized art. I mean, there's a good guy in America that I trained with, Neil Melanson. Shout out to Neil. Neil's an absolute monster. Trained Randy Couture, trained Dominic Cruz, and he is an absolute phenomenon. Trains in Vegas at a gym called Syndicate at the minute. He's the only guy in America that I've seen that has got the art to a T. And when
Josh Barnett entered, I'm going to fuck this up. He's either Polaris or what's the other professional jiu-jitsu stuff? Matt Morris.
Okay.
It was one of those, and he fought in those.
Josh, he just murdered him.
I can't remember how he did, actually. I think he won. But he went in old school wrestling pants with a big, fat, like, trunks.
Wow.
As a catch wrestler, which you got to get respect for, because you look like an absolute tit.
Yeah, he's straight in there. Sakuraba, like, one of the all-time absolute
I mean, he was, like, not far off your size.
I know.
Heavyweight.
Fighting man off.
Up. You see the state of his head sometimes? He got pounded on.
CTE, the next issue.
Well, yeah, you did actually say you wanted to touch on CTE.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a big thing that everyone's talking about now, so I guess we'll just touch on it. And if there's anyone that could potentially have CTE, I mean, Sakuraba's got to be in line, hasn't he, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who else would we say? That guy we just watched. What's the fight you'd have shown?
Oh, James Thompson.
James Thompson.
If you have a look at Alex Emelianenko and James Thompson, I think James is in a bad way with CTE. Crocop don't look good. I mean, there's not many MMA fighters off the top of my head that I've got it, that I can think of. Certainly not successful ones.
Gary Goodridge is in a really bad place with it. Mark Coleman.
Oh, God, yeah, Mark Coleman.
There's quite a few.
Used to drop headbutts on people?
I mean, listen, this is an unforgiving sport. We're getting punched and kicked in the face, kneed ferociously. And you do that over the course of 15 years, there's obviously going to be repercussions. I mean, I personally don't think it's as dangerous as boxing.
No, I would agree on that. I think a lot of people agree on that.
Do you agree?
Oh, totally.
I mean, the repetitive strikes to the head for 12 rounds. Or
that 10-second count.
I know.
When you go down, you don't get that in MMA because you're like, it's over, mate. Yeah,
I mean, you do take a few good few hits after you're knocked out in MMA though on the floor if a ref's not quick enough.
But I reckon if you looked at the impact of that, because let's be honest, if you've been put on your ass in boxing, you're concussed already. You're already concussed. If your lights have gone out and you pop back up, even if you're there on fitness and heart, you're already concussed. Mm. Those next 10 blows you're getting are now causing proper damage, I think. Whereas that flash knockout in MMA, one or two on the chin, I don't think that's as bad as another round or two that you're going to get standing up.
I'm on my 29th fight now. 29th.
Can see it on your nose, mate.
I know, mate. And I've still never been knocked out to this day. Never been knocked out. I know, never been knocked down.
Why would you say that?
No, sorry. I have to put it out there, though, because there's, I don't know, it's pretty good, though, isn't it, really?
It is pretty good.
To get to this level.
But couldn't we ask this after we've retired and you go, do you know what? I never got knocked down. Rather than setting it up now, because this is getting clipped up to fuck when he gets put on his ass in October.
Set myself up for a fall there. But anyway, I think that's a pretty good thing. I have been rocked. I remember there's two times I've been rocked, and I think that's pretty good as well. They were both in training. I remember I was in London and I was just there, tired, cutting weight, boom, got hit with a head kick. It was like, lost my legs for a second. I don't know if you've been rocked before.
I sparred a heavyweight at Hyde MMA when I was only a welterweight. It was a while ago. And he hit me with an uppercut. And the whole, I stayed still and the whole room span around me.
Yeah.
And I just heard someone go, are you all right? And I was like, yeah. And they was like, all right, carry on.
I need to explain what happens just for everyone. So, you'll be in the fight and, you know, you're watching that person, you laser light with them, and then all of a sudden, someone's go, ding! And it's like someone's got a big bell and gone, boom! And then you're like, meh! And you're like, whoa! When I fought Mike Wilkson in Bingo, I remember he hit me with a right hand, right? And I swear, three of them was in front of me at one. I thought, which one do I hit? There's three of them.
And he's that come, line in Rocky, innit? Hit the one in the middle.
He's come running at me, right? And I'm rocked. And I'm thinking, which one in? How do I hit? Literally, that's how bad it was. And all I can hear is, and a mad crowd just going mental for him to kill me. Like I was in the gladiator. You know, like he's one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember like, thinking, I just had to kind of get my bearings. But I remember in my head thinking, one more and it's over. You actually kind of know. Like, you get like a ring and you see him and you're like, whoa. And then you're like, you just know that half a clip and it's over now. And that's why you're seeing fights that are like this and they're just scrambling to get any
yeah,
kind
just
of...
hold.
Yeah, like that's all you want. You want because you're so scrambled. Your brain's been rocked and it's like, where am I? So in that second, you're like, right, okay, just grab. And you just, that's why I do think MMA... it's safer than boxing because you'll get that in boxing and take, you all right? Yeah, yeah. And they say, yeah, they're all right, but they're not all right.
Because the rounds are shorter as well, you also get a sit-down's coming well faster. You get rocked with 10 seconds gone in an MMA fight, that's a long time to go before that next round of holding on. And you know, you might get stuffed into a corner. It's quite easy. Obviously, you spar striking a lot. How easy is it if you get rocked and you know there's not going to be a takedown coming, just keep the distance, just fuck off out of the way. You can do it, can't you?
Got so much respect for you boxers out there, mate, because once you hear that ping and everyone's heard that bell ring, and once you hear that bell ring in your head, you know you're on about, you've got about a minute to survive.
Yeah, and to after get your legs
that,
back up.
Yeah, and they feel like they've disappeared. You feel like someone's axed your legs off and they've just flew into the air and you're just like trying to find them. You're like this, trying to find them. Yeah, it's a proper crazy feeling. And I don't know if once you get knocked out clean, I don't know, how long does it take to come back from that? And
do you ever come back from that? You
how
see,
many times
look
can
how
you get...
fast people get knocked out. And like Chuck Liddell, iron chin, hit him with an iron bar, it just hit
once
you again.
It went once.
And then you go, and I think your brain goes, oh, got a shortcut.
Is that what happens?
I think so. I mean, that's probably not a very scientific explanation of what happens, but I reckon there's something in that.
I mean, think about what's actually going on. Your brain is shutting off, your body going, listen, it's over, mate.
Well, I think there's survival instincts that are going on. I'm going to explain this really crudely. You see a lot of it with like veterans like myself. Testosterone levels go through the floor after you go to war, stuff like that. My own take on that is your brain, your body's going, don't want to fight no more.
Yeah.
Don't want to fight no more. Let's drop this guy's testosterone. I don't want to fight no more. And I think that's a similar sort of things happening. You get knocked out a couple of times and your body just goes, we're not going to be resilient anymore to this. We're
right.
Just going to go.
And then
I think that's you. Yeah. I think if you get a few, two or three, I mean, like, this is where you'd hope someone like BJ Penn's mates are going to step in and go.
He's not been knocked out, though.
No.
Just takes hidings.
Yeah. What's worse? I think getting swatted.
Yeah, I think
I'd rather get shot.
I think the lights out. The lights are out. Wake me up.
Look at Ricky Hatton. Hard as a coffin nail. And then Pacquiao. That'd have changed his brain. There's no way that didn't change his brain.
We've seen some. I mean, Ben Askren. That was horrific.
Let me find a quote for that, actually, because we did put something out on
Instagram to understand the power that goes into a running knee is like, it's the most incredible amount of force generated. And how's your head? What about Venom Page in that knee?
Oh, I was cage side for that.
He absolutely caved his head in.
It sounded like, the only way I could describe it is like a cricket bat.
I think that went past CT. He actually touched his brain with the knee.
Like, the guy turned away, and he turned. I was literally cage side, and he turned away, and there was a fold in his head.
Oh.
In his fucking skull. Right, let me get the quote up here. This is what Ben Askren said yesterday, I think. You're talking about a goal of 9 years in the making, and I'm one fight away from getting there against the guy that I chose. I blew it. My life's goal was to be the best in the world. I was this close.
Sad that, you know, mate. Why'd you have to bring
up? I don't hate Ben Askren in any way, shape, or form. I just love.
Sad that, you know.
I just love him, Masvidal. And you got to pick a side in that instance.
And you just talk pure shit and not back it up.
And do you know what? That happens 50% of the time. Because most of the time, these are both changing.
Look at this fucking super dad bod here, look. He has got the dad bod of all dad bods.
Go back on that one.
Look at this for a dad bod.
We've well lost it, haven't we? Fighter figure.
The dad bod of all dad bods, but he'll have it. Are the dad bods actually coming through now? What do you think of the dad bod?
There's hope for me.
Return of the dad. Wait, Dillian White.
I think I'm probably about £10.
Dillian White, Daniel Cormier, Ruiz, all these monsters with dad bods.
Did you see the interview with Ruiz on Joe Rogan? Oh, it's painful. So Joe would be like, so heavyweight champion of the world, tell me how that feels, Joe. What was
it's
like?
All right, Joe.
And he's like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, no.
Like,
I'm glad you got that off it, because I listened to it the other night and I was thinking, why is he so minutes abrupt and I was with like, his answers?
This is painful.
Joe was proper trying to dig it as well. He just wouldn't give it. He's just not used to it, is he? Talking about a guy here that's come from Tijuana earning probably what?
Was it 10 days notice he took it on as well?
He's earning absolute crumbs for fights, right? They ring and say, It's a proper Rocky story. They ring and go, do you want to fight Anthony Joshua, undefeated Olympic gold medalist, absolute machine at the time? Do you want to go in and do it? And my coach told me a saying years ago, and write this one in your diaries because this is the best saying I've ever heard. And it really, really suits this situation. Skill will beat strength, but will beat both. And what happened in that fight is he was bigger, he was stronger. I wouldn't say more technical, but he wanted it so bad. He wanted to change his family's life. He thought, I'm in the ghetto of Tijuana here. My kids are starving. He had 8 kids, didn't he, or something? 8 kids. And he's like, all I have to do is beat this guy up. That's it. And then my whole life changes. And he just went out, let them combos off beautifully. And I think he wins a rematch.
I don't care what Eddie Hearn says, because I know someone who was in his camp. Joshua got knocked out in that camp.
Did he?
Like a fortnight out or a week before. What the fuck?
Is that a...
That's 100% true. Come at me if you want Eddie Hearn, because I know that that's true.
Who?
I can't tell you. I'll tell you.
Knocked him out?
I don't know. I don't know who knocked him out. Okay. But I'll tell you who told me afterwards.
Wow.
He got done.
And interesting. He was fighting like a guy that had been knocked out, to be honest. He was fighting on the back foot. He was shy.
That's not Joshua, is it? Joshua's very confident, usually. Very confident. And he's very rudimentary in what he does. I think he's very basic, but he's so effective because he's so powerful. It's ones and twos, isn't it, really? That's all he throws.
Yep.
You don't see mad combos and like great.
I'm not the biggest. I like Joshua as a person and as his whole thing, but as a boxer, I don't rate his boxing.
He's certainly not Tyson, is he?
I mean, he's very stiff upright. He's a bit mechanical.
Basic, yeah.
He's just very basic, and I think that Andy Ruiz is a fucking much better seasoned veteran boxer.
That right hand is a piston. There's some power behind that.
I know. But as in terms of heavyweight boxing, I think it goes Tyson Fury. I'd put Ruiz above Wilder. I'd put Ruiz above Wilder now, and I think, and then I'd probably go. Who wins out of Wilder and Joshua? I don't even know that. It's whoever lands the first swing.
Yeah, because they just both swing at each other. Potentially going to put you out. That might be a Rock'em. So, or that's got the potential to be one of the worst heavyweight fights. Because just nothing happens.
What about Ruiz versus Dillian White? I would absolutely love that fight. You know, they're just both gangsters, aren't they? They're both absolutely...
Tyson's not announced yet, has he, for a new fight?
No. He just fought that last guy, didn't he? I was in Vegas for that.
Oh, yeah. He was sending you a thing, you wanted.
Into his fight.
On that note, I think we will wrap it up here for the week. Are we saying who we've got on next week?
Kane Musa will be here next week. He had a bit of a family issue this week, so he couldn't be here. But next week we'll bring Kane on. You know, we've got some absolute funny stories from over the years to share with you. So tune in next week.
And let us know who you'd like to see on as well. And we'll start lining some guests up for every Wednesday. Come join us next Wednesday. Until then, we'll see you in the next one. Laters.